During the Middle Ages, the guild system had a wonderful way of bringing an apprentice to a master. And they would learn the given skill, whether it's a blacksmith, a whitesmith, a artist of a sculptor or a painter. And after many years, when you were studying as an apprentice, you would produce something that was called your masterpiece. That means you could now be a master and take on your own apprentices and teach them what you had learned. In our language, a masterpiece has come to mean a crowning achievement. But in the Middle Ages, a masterpiece was an intermediary stage that said, now you are qualified to begin to produce classical pieces and perhaps someday produce something that will be the crowning achievement of your life. Sometimes we think that our masterpieces will never be produced, and we miss those intermediary stages. St. John Chrysostom said, one of the faults of Christians is that we do not celebrate our achievements enough. We don't celebrate God's grace doing great things in us, because they are quiet moments, moments which are rarely perceived. A kind word, a kind act, even something as simple as getting up today and coming to church can be your masterpiece for today. It can be a sign that you love, that you believe. And when you fail, people often forget the Christian theological virtue of hope. The saints used to be taunted, like they are throughout the centuries, every time they failed. And they said, you're not going to get into the door. The road is narrow and the gate is narrow. You'll never get into heaven. And the saints used to say, if I can't go in through the gate, I'm going to crawl in through the window. In other words, the virtue of hope always says, you are not on this journey alone. And God has ways of saving you that you haven't thought of. And one of the enemies of doing masterpieces is for something to take your mind off your game, such as anger, such as when someone hurts you so bad that you say, I can't forgive this, because people don't understand that forgiveness is not saying it's okay what you did. Forgiveness is not forgetting what was done to you. And of course, forgiveness doesn't mean there's no pain associated with it. When Jesus was on the cross and he rose from the dead, the wounds were very visible. The things that were done to him were not rationally put aside. Jesus didn't say, it's okay that you crucified me. But he forgave, because forgiveness is your way of preserving your masterpiece, of not letting any demons come into your heart and ruin your life, and you saying, I hold the key to my heart, which I open to the Lord and to those people who love me, and evil and violence and hatred will not find in me a recycling plant where they will have new life. Because every time you forgive, you say, violence, anger has no fuel here. It dies here. But every time we refuse to forgive, we say, I will give new life to this anger, to this damage that was done to me. I will revitalize it so it can continue to destroy and hurt and maim either myself or others, what do we do with the residual pain? We bear it. Because sometimes revenge and anger is like a doctor who asks you, what hurts? My left arm. He takes a hammer, hits your right arm. Now what hurts? It takes your pain off what hurts, but now you have two pains. And revenge and anger are very much like that. They take our mind over the injury, but the injury is still there. Unfortunately, when you forgive, you have to let the pain die a natural death. When we refuse to forgive, we give it added life and enter that unnatural realm where we begin to slowly hurt ourselves by repeating the bad things that were done to us. May God give you the courage and the Christian virtue of hope to make many masterpieces before you leave this earth, and to always hope in the Lord and never let anyone or anything come into your heart that you think will destroy or hurt your life. Often, it is your choice to prolong a pain that others have inflicted upon you. Slava Isusu Hristu.